Morning, church.
Morning. Want to extend a warm welcome to everybody that's here to worship this morning. Why don't you all pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning that we get to study from your word, but we also want to remember all those who are not worshiping with us this morning. We want to remember especially those STM teams who are out and doing your work abroad. Pray for the orphan team who's been gone for at least like 2-3 weeks now. We pray for the ESL team and the China Tech team as they are living in quarantine right now. And pray that you would use them in whatever capacity that you can as they are in quarantine. We also want to pray for our Montana team who left yesterday, and we pray for just travel safety for them as they have just a very long drive. And of course, we also want to pray for Pastor Roy and a couple people who have gone down to Portland to do the STP. Pray that they would be able to have just a safe journey back home as well. And we want to thank you and pray all these things in Jesus' name. Could you turn with me to Psalm chapter 13? We're going to be reading from the Psalms this morning. Psalms chapter 13. And it says this: How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and every day have sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemy triumph over me? Look at me and answer, O Lord my God. Give light to my eyes or I will sleep in death. My enemy will say, I have overcome him, and my foes will rejoice when I fall. But I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord, for he has been good to me. When was the last time you experienced joy in your life where you just couldn't stop smiling? Have you ever felt that kind of joy in your life where you just couldn't stop smiling? My email inbox is normally filled with three different types of mail. The first kind, which a lot of you are pretty familiar with, it's called spam mail. I'm sure a lot of us get that. Second type is the type of emails that we get. It's kind of work-related, work-oriented type of emails, things of that nature. And then there's the third type of email that we get, which is usually for leisure activity. These are the personal emails that we receive from people. It's the emails that ask us, hey, Ray, would you like to come out to dinner with us, a group of us, this coming Tuesday? Hey, Ray, could you help me? Because we're going to be moving this coming Saturday. Could you come and help us? Those are the type of personal emails that I would get. It's the type of emails that we may or may not get sick of because they're so great. Joy would not be a normal emotion that we would associate with these personal or with these spam mail or these work-oriented type of mails. Sometimes we get even the total opposite reaction. When we get spam mail, we get a little bit irritated because we always have to revisit that trash and always delete all the junk mail. And then there's the business type of emails, the work-related type of emails, where sometimes you receive that email and you kind of cringe a little bit because you really don't want to answer those emails because you're off work, you don't want to hear about it, you don't want to listen to it. But sometimes we do feel joyful when we receive those personal emails. And for me, about 2 years ago, I had an email correspondence from someone where I experienced a tremendous amount of joy. When I hear that little ping in the background that says, I got new mail, you know, I always jump over and look and see, hey, did I really receive an email? And for some of you guys who don't know, this is kind of like the way that both me and Jamie have first interacted. It was about 2 years ago, and it was all through email. It was very innocent, and all I really wanted to do was really get to know her. This was back in the days when the community network of choice was Zanga, not Facebook, okay? Most of you guys are familiar with Facebook, but back then it was always Zanga. She was a good friend of mine, and we didn't really talk or correspond too often until about 2 years ago. She had a Zanga account where she would post up stories and pictures of some of her latest adventures. And on this particular post, she posted a few pictures of her family, trip to Japan and Hong Kong. I was like, hey, kind of neat, you know. But unfortunately, there were only about three, maybe four pictures on there, and I kind of scratched my head. I wonder, you know, how can I piece together a story? You know, did she have a good time? You know, she didn't write anything else about it. Did she go out and see other scenes, other scenic stuff? I had no idea. And I got really curious. And so I ended up emailing her, hoping to hear a little bit more about her experience. The first email I sent her was pretty short and brief. I asked how, you know, Jamie, how are you doing? It's been a long time. Jamie, how is work? Are you still working at the Claremont Resort? How's church? You know, she goes to a really big church. I was like, hey, how's church? How's church going? And then I mentioned to her about these pictures I saw on Facebook. And I said, hey, you know, can you tell me a little bit more about what you did? And little did I know that through this email correspondence was when I first started off a whole slew of emails that is going to culminate in our wedding in about 2 weeks. And part of this was me having this anticipation and this waiting for those emails. And when that moment comes, when I get that email, I get pretty happy. I get pretty joyful, even at the very beginning. I get very happy. I get very excited. And something inside of me just kind of gets overwhelmed with joy. But sometimes joy in life doesn't come all that easy. In fact, there are probably times when it feels like it's so hard to be able to find joy in life. And once you're able to actually find that joy, it's hard to hold on to it for very long. Life is complicated, life is complex, and life always seems to throw some unhappy circumstance our way. And this is why, when the opportunity presents itself, we need to be able to pursue joy as much as we can. You know, when was the last time? When was the last time you experienced unceasing joy in your life? David is quite an interesting man here who experienced a lot of different highs and different lows in his life. But David right here begins Psalm 13 with six different questions here, six questions in a row. David begins by saying, how long? How long, O Lord? It's a pretty general and not specific question, just how long. It serves as kind of like an umbrella for the rest of the questions that he's going to be asking. But a lot of it relates to this theme of how long. And you kind of start getting this feeling of being restless, just waiting on God to show up. Next two questions right here, you know, relates to how long that David has been so out of touch with God. It says, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? Does it ever seem like God is silent in our lives? Sometimes we might ask ourselves, God, have you really forgotten about me? Have you forgotten little old me right here? Do I not matter?
in your mind anymore? It's been so long since I've had that spiritual encounter with you, since I felt close to you. It's been so long since I've felt any type of joy in my life. God, why is all this happening to me? And then we go on to, we find in Deuteronomy and Joshua, where it says, "Be strong and courageous. I will never leave you nor forsake you." You know, isn't that comforting that God would say that to us? It says, "Be strong and courageous. I will never leave you nor forsake you." But at the same time, as we read this, it's a promise that's very hard for us to live out in faith. It's very hard to be able to live out in faith when everything around us is silent. Where have you been, God, since I needed you? When I was in desperate need of you? When I was in need of extra money to be able to pay rent? When I needed guidance and patience in raising these young kids? God, where were you then? How is it that I can't feel joy in my life when everything around me seems to be going against me? In truth, we may not all be all that ready to even hear what God has to say to us. I've been meeting with Pastor Shu for about a year and a half, almost 2 years now. He's been counseling me, mentoring me, and really cultivating my inward being, really cultivating my spiritual life with God with him. And the biggest thing, the biggest thing that I learned from Pastor Shu was this, was that I needed to learn how to listen to God. It's easy to blame God for being silent. It's never our fault. All of us are kind of in the same boat. You know, I'm always a little bit hard of hearing, not normally. Well, I am normally kind of even, but I'm a little bit hard of hearing sometimes in listening to God. Sometimes I don't hear him quite well. And I begin to wonder, God, where are you? During my quiet times, I've needed to learn to do something a little bit different. People always tell me, "Hey, Ray, go find a quiet place, you know, to do your devotionals. Go find a quiet place and spend that time with God." And being always in the office, I go in there, and it's always easy to get distracted. I get distracted just by turning on my laptop. That's the very first thing I do when I get into my office. I turn on my laptop, I check my email, I find those frustrating emails, I delete those spam mail, and I reply to those emails, and all the while, in my mind, I'm thinking, okay, I really need to be spending time with God. And finally say, okay, I'm done with my email. And finally, I sit down and I begin to pray. But then in the background, I hear the whirring sound of the fan in my laptop. And again, I get distracted. And again, my heart and my mind is so focused on what's on my laptop that I really don't get a chance to hear God. So not only would I recommend, a quiet place, but we also need to find some quiet space in order to be able to hear God. And we also need to be able to pray and to let God know about some of our worries, some of the things that concerns us. Don't be afraid to bring those things up. Sometimes we're a little bit afraid because it always seems like where, just making a great shopping list and saying, "Hey, God, can you help me in this? Can you help me in this? Can you help me in this?" But what we really need to do is bring our concerns up to God. Let out our feelings to God about how we feel. Because believe it or not, circumstances around us, situations around us, they impact us no matter what. And it impacts our own spiritual being. We get angry. We get frustrated. And when these moments happen, express these things to God. Express it to God and see how God would come and speak to you, and see how God would handle and speak to you and handle the situation. It's hard to listen when we are also continually babbling or continue to talk to God and not being able to have that extra space to be able to hear God. This coming summer, our church, RCAC, my church, RCAC, is coming to a crossroads where the leadership needs to be able to spend time in listening to God to see what He would have us do in the next step of our development. So this is pretty high on my prayer list, and I've always had a hard time in spending time in prayer. But this coming summer, despite all the wedding prep, you know, I am going to be committed, you know, to be praying and to bring certain things about the church up to God and saying, God, what would you want me to do? And to be able to sit at His feet and listen. The rest of David's questions here describe kind of like the inner turmoil that is happening inside of him, and also the outer circumstances that are really overwhelming his life. The fourth question he asks deals with him wrestling with his thoughts. It really is sometimes hard to know what God wants us to do in our lives, especially in the area of decision-making. In David's case right here, he had a very special situation that's happening to him. He had a kid named Absalom. This kid decided that he wants to be able to take over the kingdom. And it was his choice to go after his dad, David. And by trying to take things by force, being the dad, David being the dad, that presents himself with a lot of struggling thoughts in his mind. You know, what should I do with Absalom? It's not like I can send an army out and kill him, because once you kill the threat, you know, it's gone. So he's wrestling. He's wrestling with a lot of these different thoughts about what to do, what kind of decisions should he be making. It's very hard to control our mind. It's easy for our minds to worry. It's easy for our minds to think about the pain and the suffering that can occur. And for David, he was having all these thoughts about deciding what to do with his son. And that resulted in the next thing that happened right here, where he says, "And every day have sorrow in my heart." He has sorrow in his heart. It's hard to control the emotional things that's happening inside of him as well. He's so emotionally attached because his son is coming out to kill him. Not only is he struggling with his mind about what to do, but he's struggling with his own heart about what he should be doing. But whether it's through the mind or whether it's through the heart, you know, David was a man with a lot of anguish and a lot of pain. He had a lot of hard decisions to make. You know, how can someone like him at this point have joy in his life when it feels like his whole world is falling apart? How can he have joy in his life when his son is coming after him with an army? How can he have joy in his life? You can kind of sense David's frustration here. Finally, David informs and even commands God, "God, answer me." Verse 3, "Look at me and answer, O Lord." God, answer me. I'm getting frustrated. Well, answer me. What do you want me to do here? Then it says, "Give light to my eyes, or I will sleep in death." My enemy will say, I will have overcome him, and my foes will rejoice when I fall. And there's a little bit of hope right here. Give light to my eyes. Making a small little request here. He doesn't know what he should be doing. But God knows. And he's asking God, God, open my eyes so that I may know what you want me to do. If not, if you don't step in and tell me what to do, I'm afraid I'm going to die. And worst of all, his enemy will come up and say, I have overcome him. And right here, I have overcome him. Not only is he overcoming David, who's the God of David here? God. Yahweh. If David is being defeated, does that mean God is defeated as well? And my foes rejoice when I fall. Death is right at David's footsteps, right here. What should he do? How can he experience joy again? Verse 5 and verse 6. I want to kind of stay here a little bit for the rest of the time. And it says this, but I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord, for he has been good to me. You know, despite all the different questions that David had for God, despite all the life circumstances that he is stuck in right now, David continues to rejoice because he's able to think back to some of the things that God has been faithful to him in the past. You know, our Lord has a great track record, doesn't he? He has a great track record for loving his people. He has a great track record for never failing and always providing for his people. And I believe that it is at this point right here where David chose. He chose to have joy in his life. Yes, he trusted in God, and then his heart rejoiced. But it's not before David chose to have joy in his life. He didn't allow life circumstances around him to dictate whether or not he was experiencing joy. In our churches today, we see a lot of people who come to church who at times always feels like they're always kind of sulking a little bit, always feeling a little bit down, and not having a whole lot of direction even. And not having a whole lot of energy inside them. We see a lot of people like that. How do we have joy? A joy is a choice on our part, whether or not we want to experience joy in our lives. David experienced joy when he not only remembered, but he began praising God. Philippians 4 says this, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. In preparation for our message today, I kept thinking, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. And yeah, the song, kind of stuck in my head. But then again, there was another song that came to my mind. It's called I Will Celebrate. It goes, I will celebrate, sing unto the Lord, sing to the Lord a new song. And then in the chorus, it goes, with my heart, a rejoicing within, and with my mind, and focused on him, with my hands, something. Raise to the heavens all I am, worshiping him. And this song kept coming back to my mind. Why can't we have joy in our lives, during the whole week? Why can't we have joy in our lives, every moment of our lives? We just need to be able to go out and seek after it. If we wait until just some of the good things that happen in life, we have a long time in waiting sometimes. But there are a lot of little things in our lives that we can celebrate, that we can have joy in. Parents, I know we have probably a lot of parents here. You know, celebrate. Celebrate with your children. Celebrate their accomplishments in their lives. You know, no matter if it's a small deal or a big thing, you know, make it into a big thing. You know, make use of that, you know, refrigerator and those magnets. You know, post up those drawings and those coloring and post up those A pluses, those report cards. Make them feel special. Rejoice with them. Celebrate with them. You know, spouses, you guys can pretty much celebrate almost anything. You know, things from anniversaries to things that are related to work to things about, you know, not having to take care of the kids. Hey, you don't have to take care of the kids, so you can have a little bit of joy in that. And even friends. Friends encourages one another. And the best way to do that is reminding each other of some of those past things that God has done in our lives, how God has been faithful in our lives. More than likely, you know, there's nothing new in our lives that we haven't experienced before most of the time. And at one point or another, we have overcome and we have triumphed over some of the struggles we have in our lives. And sometimes we just need an extra friend there to help encourage us. And when that friend encourages you, celebrate that. Have joy in that. And one other thing that we probably do not do enough besides celebrating is we don't model this to our kids enough. Whether it be younger kids or junior high kids or even high school kids. When people don't see us rejoicing, celebrating, how can we expect them to have that same attitude in the future? We're only going to be having more people in the future who's going to be coming to our churches, coming to our fellowships, and kind of sulking a little bit, not having that full energy inside of them. We need to be able to teach our kids how to rejoice and how to celebrate and have joy in our lives. How can we experience more joyful moments? It's not something that it can be accomplished through prayer, asking, pleading with God, because God works on His own time. God works on His own time to bring things into our lives. And it's not something that can be necessarily be accomplished through prayer. But in the psalm, we find that somehow David remembered the faithfulness of God. And it was through his faith in God that he was able to experience joy. You know, we're not always going to be, you know, down in the pits. And we're not always going to be up in the clouds either. But regardless of where we are at in life, you know, take those little victories. Take those little things that God has brought into our lives and celebrate those things. We need to be happy and joyful with the small things that God has given us. And when God does give us moments that are bigger, that we can celebrate bigger, seize those moments and celebrate them. Celebrate and model these things to other people so that we can have more joy even within our own church. Joy is infectious. Joy is, if you walk down a hallway and you see a guy smile and you see a guy laughing, your natural tendency is, well, probably to laugh at the guy, but at the same time, it kind of warms your heart a little bit. In 1 Thessalonians 5, it says this, "Be joyful always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances. For this, it's God's will for you in Christ Jesus. You know, if we want to know what God's will for us in our lives, it's written right here. God wants us to be able to be joyful always, and to pray and to give thanks in all circumstances. But most of all, I believe God wants us to live a joyful, triumphant, and abundant life. Let's pray. Dear God, we just thank you for this afternoon or this morning, that we can come before you in worship, that we can come before you in listening of your word. And a lot of times in our lives, it is hard to experience joy. It's even hard for us to even seize the moment to experience joy, because it always feels like it's so tiring in our lives. But Lord, we don't want to live our life with our heads downward. We don't want to live a life that feels very mundane, where we go to work, we come home, we have dinner, we wake up in the morning, and we do it all over again. Lord, we want to be able to experience life and to be able to experience life to its fullest. And so we pray that you would help us to experience joy in our lives, even through the little things. Thank you, God, for everything. We pray all this in Jesus' name.